We're visiting with Mark Reimer, who's the head of project development for a company called Sun Carrier. So, Mark, first of all, thanks for your time today and appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks a lot for inviting me to this show, and well, I'm glad to talk to you.
Give me a sense of who Sun Carrier is.
Sun Carrier is a division of a company called A+F, located in the south of Germany, and that company is in the business of solar technology and solar efficiency, and well, dealing with that solar thing since almost 6 years.
Okay, you know, there's other solar companies out there. Why are there such a leadership position coming out of Germany in the solar energy field?
Well, first of all, you have to say that Germany is at present world market leader in solar technology. So Germany started in the early 80s with trying to perform and trying to accelerate the solar performance of solar modules, performance of all solar support structure systems and all such things. And since the end of 1990, they got certain incentives which make the installation of solar products financially very interesting. We got in the German market, we got a system which is called feed-in tariff. So the utilities are obligated to buy the energy which is produced by private households, by financial investors, by bigger companies which feed that electricity into the grid. The utilities are obliged to buy that electricity at a certain amount, which is a little bit higher than the sales price, just to accelerate the percentage of renewable energy put into the grid.
Give me a sense of why Sun Carrier is a leader in that area. What do they do that's different than everybody else?
So what we do different than anybody else is, we got a very, very strong focus on performing and arising the efficiency with a very low environmental impact, which means we are using a very little surface of available ground to put a solar system on there, which tracks all over the day the position, the current position of the sun. By that, it generates much, much more energy than a fixed installation would do, for example.
So it actually follows the track of the sun no matter what the season?
Exactly. No matter what the season. We got implemented there an electronical clock which always tells the system all over the year where the actual position of the sun is, and directly there is our system. So by that we generate up to 35% more energy than a fixed installation would generate.
Can you give us a sense of what that means in terms of output? I mean, is it 20% more efficient? Is it 50% more efficient?
It is between 30% and 35% more efficient than fixed installations.
Okay, all right. Give us a sense too. I mean, I know that you're big in Spain. I know there's a huge installation there. How did Spain come about as being a primary solar market?
Spain followed exactly the same political direction which Germany did concerning these incentive programs. They have a feed-in tariff as well. They got lots of sunshine, comparable. The irradiation data are exactly comparable what we have here in Kansas. And, by that program, lots of renewables have been installed there as well. And, we are one of the biggest parties there which have their installations there in the market.
Well, that begs the question then, why are you in Kansas City? And what's the marketplace look like here?
Well, the marketplace here is what's extremely interesting for us, for sure. When nobody who reads actual media can't get into the US market. And our interest is, for sure, bringing renewables in here. So the competition here is not comparable to California or to Arizona, for example. On top, we got here the roughest and most difficult, or almost most difficult, weather conditions. We talk about strong wind loads here. We have strong snow loads and all such things. And, well, to show what our system and how our system performs in the worst weather conditions, we started not to do it in sunniest and desert areas. That's what we already have practiced in Dubai and in several installations in the Middle East. So we know what it does and that it works.
So you know what it looks like in optimum conditions. You're looking for an area that has still a high percentage of sun, but maybe less than optimal weather conditions that go along with that.
That is the most difficult thing which solar tracking systems have to deal with: wind loads and snow loads. And our system has been developed for exactly the strongest weather conditions. We did it because our focus is not looking short-term return on invest, like, well, trying without having a focus on long-term performance. The system has been developed to withstand weather conditions and to work for decades. We are talking about 20, 30, 40 years.
That's what I was going to ask, because obviously with a tracking system, there's a lot more moving parts.
Yeah.
And how do you estimate that out, the life span of a system like that?
So let me give a short explanation about tracking systems themselves. There are finally two philosophies. There is a tracker who moves on one axis, and there are tracking systems who move on dual axis or on two axis. And our philosophy was to use one axis, which is completely reliable, and to provide the system,
I was going to ask you a question here because I want to make sure I understand it. So one axis would be that the whole system spins kind of left and right?
Exactly.
Okay.
It turns around its vertical axis from east in the morning to west in the evening, and very slowly and energy efficiently moves back at night.
And then what about the tilt of the sun? Because the sun, certainly in the winter time, is lower to the horizon than it might be in the summertime.
It is not lower to the horizon. It finally rises a little bit later, and not only a little bit, by far later. And by that, we have implemented into our astronomical clock when the system has to be in which position and starts in which position and goes back in at what time and in the sunrise position.
We're speaking with Mark Reimer, the head of product development for SunCarrier. Mark, I wonder, you mentioned that you're here in Kansas City. I know that you've been to other Midwestern cities. What's the reception been?
Well, it was quite great. We met lots of folks here from Kansas. We met lots of folks from Lincoln and from Omaha. And, we have been quite impressed, and everybody was, interested in our system and was, everybody told us that we are on the right track and should proceed exactly these ways. We have several options for the first installations already now after the first contacts, and we got really great partners on our side. For example, on the legal side, we are extremely well supported by Hush Blackwell Sanders from Kansas, and we already got the first suppliers and subcontractors and other partners in place, and we are looking forward to start business here.
I wonder if you could name drop a little bit with some of the other folks that you've met with that have expressed an interest. I mean, if that's not too premature.
No, it isn't. We already met with NPPD, for example, from Norfolk, Nebraska. We are going to, well, maybe doing the first installation with them. And we met with all possible other utilities, like, for example, OPPD and
up in Omaha.
Mm-hmm. Up in Omaha as well. And we met a lot of project developers. We talked to companies like Chevron, who are, as well as we, worldwide mm-hmm. in business, worldwide in solar business. And well, it looks very, very prospective.
I know that you've probably had a chance to kind of, especially your company, is to keep an ear on the American market, the U.S. market. And it seems to me that there's been a lot of talk about alternative energies and green jobs and things like that. I wonder if you think that that will likely work to that incentives that has driven that growth in Germany and Spain. I wonder if you think that that will be the outcome of those kinds of things. And is that what it will take to really grow a solar industry here in the United States?
Well, what would really, really help would be a way to rise the incentives. When we are talking about just about Germany, there has been created a business of 235 billion euros. So it's huge. There are huge possibilities doing, well, good things for the environment and creating lots of jobs on top.
Mm-hmm. Any idea what the percentage of energy that's coming from solar in those countries that we mentioned?
Well, those countries we mentioned before, they have set up targets where, when talking about Germany, mm-hmm. we are trying to achieve a renewable percentage or a percentage of renewable electricity being used of about 20% by 2020.
Okay. Spain would be a similar target, do you think? Or?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that, and I would guess that the American utilization right now, I mean, most of it's coming from coal and nuclear and stuff like that. We're not anywhere near that. I know that there are states, though, that have put incentives in to try and achieve that. Colorado, I think, is one of them. Do you think it's going to be mandated at the federal level, or is it going to come down to the states to try and drive cleaner energy?
Well, in my opinion, it should come down. It should come down to the states. Because, well, in the end, it shall be or it has to be the focus of each state to forward, well, an environmental, well, health and, well, to support those products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about, you know, any U.S. manufacturing you're working with. I mean, is that opening up any possibilities for you to partner on the domestic front here?
Well, we got very, very close contact already to a manufacturing company from Columbus, which is called Balen Manufacturing. We as well have talked to huge companies like Valmont, and well, we're looking forward to having them into our manufacturing pipeline and working closely with them together. For example, other contacts we already established are our module supplier is or will be one of the biggest, or if not the biggest, manufacturer of solar modules, is called SunPower, located at San Francisco. And well, that's why we are in a quite good shape to go forward here.
Yeah, without the incentives, I mean, people are still going to try and, I would assume, find ways for renewable energy. Because in the long run, once you get past that investment, it's certainly a lot cheaper than continuing to buy energy from the grid.
Exactly. When you have a look at the development of the energy prices within the last years, the energy prices rise each year over the last 10 years at about 10%. It goes on and on this way, and well, when having installed such a solar system, for example, like our Sun Carrier, you will have your investment returned on, well, a time frame of 8 to 10 years or something. And after that, you are able to produce energy for, well, a minimum amount of maintenance and, well, for almost free.
Right, right, right. It seems like, at least in my travels in the Midwest, I see an awful lot of wind installations. I wonder if you might talk a little bit about wind and how solar either is competing with wind or how it might complement wind.
Well, both is a fact. It's both renewables, it's both paid or supported by incentives, and nevertheless, neither the one nor the other thing is something which should be in place all alone. So there are several parts where wind is the perfect system, and on other parts, solar is perfect. But in the end, both, there are several possibilities that both energy types work closely together. For example, when you look at when wind is extremely efficient, wind is mostly efficient at night and is as well efficient in bad weather conditions when solar systems do not work well. On the other hand, the most energy is needed when the weather is perfect outside, so when it's extremely sunny, when there is no wind, and at that time everybody needs the much more higher energy or needs much more energy than in bad weather conditions. All the air condition systems they are running, all the refrigerators, and all those systems consuming lots of energy are, well, much more in process in good weather conditions, and exactly at that time solar is the best solution you can imagine. For example, the most energy is needed in the morning hours and in the late evening hours when people go to work or come back from work. And exactly at that time, solar tracking systems provide the energy which is needed. So they are always in the right position to generate the most possible energy, whereas wind is much more difficult to calculate. So there is, well, you can never say there will be a certain month with so much or so much energy output with wind. And whereas solar, you know, in the summer months, it's very, very easy to calculate.
Yeah. It seems to me that people that already have a wind system in place, they already have a connection into the grid, or they already have a way of transmitting that found energy, if you will, into a useful state. Are those people a great candidate for solar?
Yes, what I just said, it's perfect to use both energies together. When having, as you mentioned, the wind installations in place, you already have, you have the cabling, you have everything arranged, and it makes very much sense to put, besides all those wind installations, solar as well, because, well, the ground is already covered, mm-hmm. and you got everything there, so it's a perfect combination to put solar on top.
All right, we've talked about the cooperation between wind and solar. What are the definite distinct advantages other than the fact that solar works in all kinds of weather and not just, I mean, what are the distinct advantages environmentally between solar and wind?
Well, environmentally, first of all, you can say that wind has a much higher impact on the environment because besides the fact that it's much more visual, we are talking about heights of 200 feet or higher. On top, we got those shadings by the motion of the turbines. We got on top a certain noise emission, and all these things are, well, you don't have those things with solar.
What about the maintenance?
Well, maintenance is as I said before, a main issue at wind installations in opposite to solar installations. When we are talking about that height, it's each maintenance point is an own project, is a project for itself. So you have to bring cranes in place. You have to, well, it's, well, we are talking about for one reparation, and it's often a rising cost of more than $250,000.
Just to go out there and fix it, if there's something happens to it.
Yes, think about that height. And
there's a lot of moving parts.
Crane. Well, if you want to remove parts, you'd need huge cranes
mm-hmm.
for getting up there. And, well, you don't have them anywhere in the middle of nowhere, so you have to bring them there. And, well, it's a project of several days to bring cranes in there to do all those reparation things. And, well, besides those costs you have to spend, you have as well a much longer downtime. So if anything happens to our solar system, it will be repaired in less than 3 hours.
Good. And I guess that timing leads to kind of my last question, which is if somebody decides to get into a solar installation, how long might that take? I mean, is there a big long waiting period for that?
No, it's not at all a long waiting period for it. When talking about a single installation, that can be in place within 2 or 3 weeks. Wow. When talking about huge megawatt installations, well, we have lots of scale effects, and well, we are able to install at least 2 megawatts within 2-3 weeks when the whole production process has started.
That's amazing. Mark Reimer, the head of project development at SunCarrier, division of A+F. Thank you so much for your time today. It was very fascinating. I appreciate your help.
Thanks a lot for inviting me here.